Okay, I was going to share a little bit today, and I guess this was what I was thinking about today, is what is our hope in, or let us say, what are you longing after from your heart? What are you longing after, or what are you setting your mind on? Because I think they go together. So that might be a better one. What do you like to think about? So I'd encourage you to even tell the people sitting in your room, what are some of the things that we're tempted to spend our time thinking about? I was pondering that myself this morning, because I think the things that we're thinking about are often what we're hoping for or longing for. And I'll share some of the things that kind of came to my mind. But sometimes we can hope for maybe a holiday. We can really look forward to a holiday, and all of a sudden when the borders close, you can not get what you want and it doesn't make you very happy. Or maybe you can be hoping for a bigger house, maybe just a house. Or some people, they're sometimes thinking about or trying to figure out how to save more money. Not that it's wrong to save or to have a house or any of these things, but is that what we're thinking about or pondering on? Is that what we spend our time seeking? I know some people kind of put their hope maybe in a good career or a stable career, which is not wrong to have one, but is that what we hold to or cling to? I know sometimes when I'm at work, people can talk about retirement. They're really looking forward to retirement and things like that. Sometimes it can be even certain activities. There's certain activities that we just think about, we just can't wait to do. It's kind of what we really hope for. Obviously, I think most of us are smart enough to know that we probably shouldn't have our hope set on these things, or that that shouldn't be consuming us, even though almost everything I said was completely lawful. Nothing wrong with them. Some of them are even good. But is that what we're seeking? That would be the problem. And there's a passage that I was thinking about a little bit in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, I was going to look here. I'll start in verse 25. Hebrews 12, verse 25. And it says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." And I was thinking about this. I feel like we're in a time in the world where lots of things are being shaken. Lots of things are being shaken, whether it be the economy, politics, governments, lots of things are being shaken. Sometimes there's just different things that come into our life where things are being shaken. It shakes things. So when that happens, sometimes things don't go as we planned. Sometimes all of a sudden we don't get to go on that holiday because the borders closed. That was the one example I had. But there's other things too. All of a sudden, I've known people in the last few years, they wanted to retire, and all of a sudden all their investments didn't do so well because things had gotten shaken. I think it was a few years ago. And all of a sudden they had to work longer. So what are we putting our hope in? I guess that's really what I'm wondering. And you know what? God is shaking things, not just the things on the earth, but he's shaking even the things in heaven. And I kind of think of that as being you and me. We're seated in heavenly places with him, but he's going to shake and test us too, to purify us so that we're not putting our hope in other things. And I was thinking, what is a really good hope? What is something that we should be longing for? And there's a great verse in Psalm 27. So I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. It's in verse 4, Psalm 27, verse 4. This is David. when he's in the midst of a big test, this is what he says here in verse 4. It says, one thing I have longed for, I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. What did he really want? He wanted to be in God's presence. He longed for, essentially, God. Is that our longing? Is that the longing of your heart? Lord, I want you. I want fellowship with God. I want to dwell in his presence. I want to walk with him day by day. That should be our longing. That is a fantastic hope, desire, longing. This is what it should be on our minds. What are we pondering? What are we meditating on? Of course, we have to think about some natural things, but what do we have a tendency to go to? Hopefully, we naturally want to meditate on things above. We can meditate on our Lord and our Savior. This is the hope that cannot be shaken. This is what we should be seeking. And I was thinking, you know what? David was in this psalm. He'd come through some hard things, right? Because we know his enemies were surrounding him. He's probably holed up in a cave somewhere there. But yet this is what he is longing. And I don't know about you, but sometimes if I'm going through a really shaking time, all of a sudden I realize, man, all the things I'm putting my hope in are, it's just not satisfying, and they're being shaken and they're being removed. And I find myself going, man, Lord, I just want you. That's what I need. And I think sometimes that's why the Lord allows those shaking times, right? To cause us to remove the things that are shakable in our lives so that we cling to him alone. This is what we need. Lord, I want you. There's another verse here, very familiar, I'm sure. 1 Peter 2:6. It says here, this is quoted in the book of Isaiah. This is 1 Peter 2, verse 6. It says, therefore, it is also contained in the scripture in the book of Isaiah. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will not be put to shame. Some would say, whoever puts their hope in him, right? Whoever longs for him, right, will not be put to shame. You will not be disappointed. Guaranteed, if you put your hope in any of those things I've listed, being able to do a certain activity, being able to have a really nice retirement, all these different things, it's a vain hope. You're going to be disappointed, guaranteed. Right? But those who put their hope in him, they will not be disappointed. He is the chief cornerstone. And I was thinking, why are we not disappointed? Because then we're not going to be shaken. If he's our cornerstone, if he's our foundation, we will not be shaken. If we have anything else as our foundation, we're going to shake and crumble. And so that kind of reminded me of Matthew 7, because in Matthew 7, it's talking about our foundation. And our foundation ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. He's the chief cornerstone. The cornerstone is when they used to build, they would have put this large, massive stone in the ground first. And it was not just any stone. It was a large stone, and it had to be perfect. It had to be perfectly flat on all six sides, and they had to be perfectly level and at 90 degrees. And all the other stones had to line up and adjust themselves to that cornerstone, so they could all attach together. But it was that cornerstone that was immovable. It was so big. And that's Jesus. We want to align our lives to him, right? And it says here, verse 24, and I like this passage because we see that the wind and the waves are coming on those that have Jesus as their foundation and those that don't. But the wind and the waves are still going to come. They're still going to be testing times, right? But we're not going to have to be crumbling. We won't have to be shaken. We're going to have a firm foundation. It says here, therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, those who build their lives on God's word will not be shaken. It is of eternal worth. That is the verse right back that we just read in first Peter 2, you don't have to flip there, but I'm going to read it. It just comes right before that passage. In 1 Peter 2, just before we read, it says, the word of the Lord endures forever. Did you get that? God's word is going to last forever. God does not lie and God does not change. Everywhere around us, things are shifting and changing. What is right and what is wrong in the world's eyes is changing drastically, but God's word does not change. It says, all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass, and the grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. There's governors, there's presidents, there's kings on this earth that can tell us what is right and what is wrong. But you know what? They're going to fade away. Those men are here for a short time, and what they think is right and wrong, if it doesn't line up with God's word, is not going to stand. But God's word is going to stand. This is what we need to line our lives up to. Jesus is the word of God. He's the chief cornerstone, and he's perfectly true on all six sides. And we need to line our lives up perfectly in alignment with him. And if we do that, we're going to have him as our foundation, as our chief cornerstone, and we won't be disappointed. And our hope will not be cut off. We're going to have an everlasting hope because of him. And so when we go to God's word, we want to make sure we're not just a hearer, but we actually do what it says so that he is our chief cornerstone. See, it's the doing that causes our lives to line up to him. You see, if other stones get put next to the chief cornerstone and they're not true, when I say true, meaning they're not a nice, clean, straight side that line up perfectly to the chief cornerstone, they'll look for a different stone. And they're going to find a different stone that fits in properly. And then they line them up one by one, and they're building this essentially, that's how they built the old temple. Well, in the same way now, there's a spiritual house that's being built. And you and I are living stones that are being fit beside the true and perfect cornerstone, Jesus Christ himself. And so we need to line up our lives to his word. We need to let our hopes, the longing of our hearts, be according to his word. Otherwise, we're going to be shaken. And so I would encourage us, if you're not going through a difficult time right now, you know what? I'm not trying to say this in a bad way, but there's going to be testing times coming, guaranteed. Everyone on the face of the earth goes through testing times. And so as Christians, guarantee we're going to go through tests to refine us so that our hopes and our goals and our plans and our dreams are going to be aligned with Christ. That is the key. Now, with all that being said, I'm going to read a verse here. It's interesting. Before I even read it, you think of Christ when he was on earth. What was the thing he dreaded the most? The thing he was most concerned about. He sweat drops of blood. What was his concern? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What was the will of God at that time for him? And I strongly believe it's more than just dying a natural death on the cross. And the reason I say that is I've had to explain this way and it made so much sense to me, is we know of other godly men and women who have been burned at the stake and they sang praise songs to God what was happening. Incredible. But if they could do that by the Spirit of God, how much more Jesus Christ? So what was he most concerned about? When he went to the cross, he knew something was going to happen. He knew that my sin and your sin would be laid upon him and that separation from the Father would happen. And he cried out, and what did he say? My God, why have you forsaken me? The Father, right, forsook him when our sin was there. It was our sin that separated Jesus from the Father, and he experienced hell for you and I so that we wouldn't have to. And so no matter the test that we go through, we don't have to go through what Jesus went through. This is the good news. He took our place, that even though we might go through very difficult things, we will not have to experience separation from our Father. Thank Jesus for that. That he took our place. And so we have such hope. So yes, We can go through different tests, but the most important thing in our life can never be taken away. What's the longing? I'm going to go back to Psalm 27 and read a couple other verses there. So I'm going to read verse 4 again. What does it say? One thing I have a desire, that of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to know him, right? To see him, right? To be able to dwell with him, to be in his presence, to have him in us. But when we go through tough times, is he going to leave us and forsake us? What does he say? I will not leave you nor forsake you. He's there with us, right? Jesus knew what was coming. He was going to have separation from the Father, but we don't have to experience that. We may have other tough things to go through. We'll never have to experience that when we follow him, right? When we follow him, when he is our chief cornerstone, because we hear his word and we do it, right? He's our chief cornerstone. We don't have to go through that. So yes, we may have to go through some difficult things, but we have a firm foundation. His name is Jesus. Verse 13, it says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Isn't that great? He says, the psalmist, even David said, I would have lost heart, but he believed something. He believes he'd see the goodness of the Lord. You know what? Our God is a good God. And when we're going through those tests, we need to always believe and hold fast to the word of God, which is sure and steadfast, that our God is good. And that, what is faith? Anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists, that he is the Almighty, and that he's a rewarder. He is good to those who seek him. That's you and me when we seek him. Verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, sometimes we can wait on the Lord, and there are certain things we want. We want the Lord, and we also have our other hopes. We can't guarantee or promise those other hopes. We can't know for sure we're going to get a bigger house or that we're going to necessarily get to go on that holiday. But you know what we can have? We can have him. So my question is he enough? If all those other hopes and plans that we might have, if they don't come to pass, but you have him, is he enough? That's my question. You know what? If he's enough, you will not be disappointed. And guaranteed, he is more than enough to satisfy you, not just today, but for eternity. This is the great hope that we have. We have an eternal hope. And I want to finish off with even another very familiar passage. For those of us that it might be going through difficult times, Psalm 23, flip back a page or two. Very familiar psalm, but I liked a specific line here that I'm going to get to. So verse 1, we're familiar with. The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that good when we're going through tough times? When I'm stressed, sometimes I wake up in the morning. Sometimes it's way too early in the morning. But I can think about that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack. He's going to take care of me. That's such a great promise. In the early morning hours, to be thinking about that, it gives peace into my heart. He's my shepherd. Look what it says here, though, verse 4. When you're going through difficult times, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why will we not fear when we're walking through the valley in the shadow of death? For you are with me. What a promise. What a hope. That's the longing of the psalmist, David. He wanted to dwell in his presence. For you are with me. What a great hope. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that. Is that your hope? Are you longing for him? And cling to these truths when you're going through the tests or through the valleys. God is good and he is with us. He's not going to leave us or forsake us in the midst of the tests. It says, when you go through the waters, I am there. When you go through the fire, I'm going to be there. Right? We have a great hope. And so I want to encourage you with that. So ask the Lord to purify hearts. If we're putting our hope in the wrong thing, ask him to help us. He can help us so that our hope is fully in him. And then when we go through tests, which we still will go, we won't be shaken. And he obviously is there with us. Right? So be encouraged.